Hello and welcome to Hummingbird, a weekly podcast with April Lee James and Jessica Outram. Hi everyone, so here we go, and we're going to begin our book study today, a deep dive into Learning by Heart, Teachings to Free the Creative Spirit by Carita Kent and Jan Stewart. And each week we're going to integrate the ideas from a chapter into our practice and talk about how it goes, one step at a time. And so I'm really excited to launch this conversation today. We've used this book before. Last season, there are a couple of episodes where we looked at her rules. And then we also looked at her book, like an overview, a quick overview of the book, but we both felt that there was more there. So, but before we get into the book, April, I just want to check in and ask you, how are you doing? What's new?
It's been kind of a busy week. I can't believe we're at episode 5 already. And what I've been busy doing is painting and actually started selling my work more regularly, which is a really nice feeling as we go into the fall. And I feel like I've found a new voice in my work, which is looser and lighter. And I'm very excited about that. And part of that is this whole creative journey that we've all been on. What about you?
Well, I have to thank you for this beautiful gift. I'm going to show you, even though you've seen it. April sent me in the mail this fabulous portrait. I'm going to call it a portrait of the lighthouse that my grandfather grew up in. And she put it over top of a map. And it's just so stunning to have the lighthouse there with a map in the background that has the waters. And I'm looking forward to hanging this in my office at work so I can have a little piece of my family history with me there. So tell me about your vision with this. This was just such a beautiful gift and a welcome surprise.
Well, I have all these navigational maps. That's what it is. It's actually navigational maps of the waters. A lot of it up near Georgian Bay where you spent your childhood. And I just decided I wanted to do something with them because they were sitting in a big roll in the top of my closet. And the first thing I thought of was lighthouses. And I asked, we were talking about lighthouses, and you sent me a photo of your grandfather's. And I thought, well, that's got to be it. That's the first one. Did you notice the name of the island in the picture?
Yes, it's on Eagle Island.
Yes, that's amazing. I picked that special for you.
Wow. And, you know, since about June, maybe July, I've just had all these interesting encounters with eagles. And I find that when that happens, it's a message that things are in alignment and I'm on track and I'm on the path I need to be. And it was just so meaningful. And I think too, we were celebrating in some ways my newest writing project. This summer, I wrote a children's picture book called Bernice and the Lighthouse. And I sent it off to a publisher, an editor at a publisher, who had sent me a very kind rejection note when I had sent her another book a year ago. And she sent me, you know, I sent it last summer, and then I probably heard back in June, and her note was so kind. So I said, well, I've written this other book. And long story has led to today, where I've gotten an email that says, we'd definitely love to publish your picture book. And they would also like me to think about writing a chapter book on the same family and themes. So I'm really excited. And I haven't signed the contract yet, but to get an email that says, we definitely want to publish your book from a publisher that I admire and respect, I have had a lot of trouble sleeping. So this lighthouse picture just means so much to me, April. So thank you so much for that beautiful gift.
And I think both of our stories at the beginning of this, before we get into Carita's book, to those of you that are out there that are listening and maybe you're questioning what you're doing and should you keep trying, you know, it's the people who persist who make it in the creative landscape. And so it happens. Stay out there, keep trying, and we will hear your story one day too about you're published, you're selling, you're whatever it is that's going on, because that's what we really want to encourage. If that's what your dream is, if your dream is just to be creative for yourself, that's good too. It doesn't have to be validated by an outside force like that. All creativity is good, but it is fun when it gets validated, isn't it?
Oh, and you know, well, and what with this particular story is because it's my family, I just feel so happy that my great aunt Bernice, who would have loved this, she would have loved to have a story named after her to be a character in a story. I'm just so happy for them that this life that they lived out on the lighthouse for so many years, I'm probably right now the last carrier of the stories. And it's nice to have them documented in a way that will hopefully outlive all of us.
So we'll be watching for Bernice in the lighthouse. That's good. I can't
Yes.
wait. I can't wait to see it.
Yay. All right.
So we better
So
jump into this other book.
yes, we should. So here we have here The Learning by Heart, Teachings to Free the Creative Spirit. And I've been working with this book for about 20 years now, and I've read it many, many times. And every time I read it, I see something I've missed. So it is the kind of book that you can return to over the course of your creative work over and over and over again. It seems very simple at a first glance, but the concepts that Karita Kent and Jan Stewart work through are quite complex. So let's start with the word beginning. What does this mean? And you know, when you first read this section, what came to mind for you?
Well, I always love to look up words and see what other synonyms and things are. And when I looked this one up, it says it's an to look at it as an action verb. It means to start a journey. But to me, it also meant that willingness to be a beginner and to learn. That was something I struggled with years ago. And, you know, as a young person, you know, and you want to come across as being confident in things. And I would sometimes say I knew stuff when I didn't, and then to my own detriment. And I had to learn how to be willing to step back and say, yeah, I don't know, and I'd like to learn more. And even if I have, if it's a field that I've been working in or something, there's always more to learn. So it's taking those preconceived assumptions that I already know something. What else can I find out about this and stay curious about it so that it becomes something bigger?
I really like the, you know, how you use the word curious, because it feels like that's the entry point to a beginning is a question. So you could be doing the same thing you've always done. For example, writing poetry for me. And every time I connect with a poem, it's a new beginning because my curiosity will pick up on something different. So I often feel like I'm beginning. And it seems to me it's more than just the start of something. It can be a starting over. So
Yeah.
it's a big deal. There's an energy, there's an electricity. And in the first section of the book, Karita Kent in her letter, she talks about the energy of making. And I feel that our energies are always changing throughout the day. Whenever we move into a project, our energy is different each time we connect with that work. And so the work is going to come out different. Like, I don't know if you've noticed, but every time I sit down and I like, so for example, I've been going through some poems that I wrote a little while ago, and I sit down and I read them over, and then I start rewriting them almost instantly. And there's a beginning, isn't it? Because my energy is different. And I'm engaging in a relationship with the poetry in a different way. So for our listeners out there, you may find that that happens with you too. And it doesn't mean that the poem you wrote before isn't any good. It's not about good or bad or judgment. It's all about when we're talking about creativity, it's that ongoing relationship with what you are creating and who you are in that moment. So it makes sense that what you're writing is always changing as you change. Or what you're painting is changing.
I often say that people in the creative arts never have to retire because what we do all the time is something new all the time. I mean, it's why the Rolling Stones are still rocking in their 70s and 80s, right? Because it's always new. So you don't have to retire. We're always beginning. Kind of a, to me, I love that idea that I will never come to the end of it or get tired of it.
No, and it's a
So
big
what?
deep thought, isn't it? Beginnings. It's you can
Yeah.
really get lost in there thinking about it because it's not linear, even though it suggests it's linear, so it's complex.
Yeah. So what quote stood out for you? I had one that really led me down an interesting path, but I want to hear what stood out for you.
I really loved in the beginning, it was Jan Stewart that said she didn't teach us how to draw or paint so much as she taught us to care. And I loved that. And you know, Carita Kent will say, and that everybody can be created, this creative, this is for everyone. And it really is all about relationship. And that was a big turning point for me in my own work too. So even if we think about this story, Bernice in the Lighthouse, when I got the note from the editor rejecting another book I had written, and it was a fine book, it was just about animals, and they don't publish stories where animals are speaking. But she said, I've enjoyed reading your blog, and you've got some wonderful family stories there. Do you have any that are in a book form? And I said, of course I do. And then I realized, oh my goodness, how I've been writing for, 25 years, how have I not, and even longer if you count like pre the intention of writing, because I've always been writing since I was a child. I've always been caught up in stories. But that whole idea of I need to write what nobody else can write. And I find the more that I've been doing that, and that's really for me over the last 2 years, the more I've been going in and getting really specific, like this story, Bernice in the Lighthouse. I wrote it so that I could use it when I visit schools to talk to kids. And I put together a little slideshow with some pictures from my family. But that was my purpose was to care. What do I care about within this story? And what do I think the kids that I'm going to be talking to are going to care about? And that's the relationship. When I read that, I went, yes, that's what it's about when we're talking about creativity. It's about the care.
And I love that you turned it into the question, which is, what do I care about? Because the quote that really stuck in my head was, living the questions is our job. We're never just being artists or writers. There's a question we want to explore. So I kept thinking about those questions, and I kind of related it back to our last episode where we talked about branding, because our brand should reflect that big question that we're asking ourselves as a creative person. And then I think each piece has its questions attached to it as well. So that one really took me down a path where I started looking for other things. I found a great little book on Amazon, and it's like, I think, less than $5. And let me see, I got to get the name of it here. I've put it in the link. Question Yourself, it's called. 365 Questions to Ask Yourself. I think that was the whole title, but Question Yourself. And it has great questions in it. There's a question for every day, and you don't have to explore them all. You pick the one that works to you. But I found what he was saying at the beginning of it so related to what Carita was talking about, that asking questions takes away the judgment. Because we're curious about something, we're not judging it, we're wanting to know more. And she also encourages us later in the book to be childlike. Well, who asks more questions than kids, right? Why, why, why? And I think why and what are great questions for us to be asking as creative people. What is it I want to say here? Why does this interest me so much? What purpose could this serve? What good could it do? How does it, and you, I know you mentioned one of the quotes was about hope. What hope can this bring? I just really think asking those questions, that's what I thought about all week, was that quote, living the question is our job,
I love
instead of
that.
just learning the technical thing.
Doing and making are acts of hope. And as that hope grows, we stop feeling overwhelmed by the troubles of the world. And she really does offer up creativity and the act of doing and making as a remedy, a tonic, something that we can do during these challenging times. And we've talked about that before when we were earlier last month talking about creativity and wellness. The act of creativity can make us a better person and make the world a better person. And I think we're going to dig into a little bit more about that because it comes down to the big question of why do we create, right?
Yeah. I put a post out on Instagram, picture of the lighthouse in our town. Lighthouses are a big theme today. I had just gone through, but when I made that post, and it was, I talked about how lighthouses in the middle of storms keep shining. They are that beacon of hope, that they're safe harbor somewhere. Because I've been really concerned lately about, do I stay on Facebook? Do I stay on social media because of all the negativity that is out there? It's like, some days it's so disheartening to read it. What I just realized was if I leave, then I surrender that one place can shine a light. I posted that and people came back, and it was about hope that we need to have the voices out there doing and making and creating that antidote to all the negativity that's out there.
And I think that we're in control of what shows up in our newsfeed too. And so I always think about that, you know, to look at the importance of connection, and creativity is about connection. Creativity is about relationship. And what I like about social media is I can engage in both of those on my terms. And so I have filled my feeds with pictures of sunsets, Georgian Bay. I've started following a lot of people who are interested in the same historical conversations that I am. And it's really taken over my news feeds on social media. And it's become a place of inspiration for me instead of a place of energy drain. So really look at those groups that you're following or the people that you're following. And sometimes you can even unfollow a friend, but they're still your friend. That's a yep, fun thing too. Yep. If you find that somebody's just kind of, you know, having a time and going down a path that you're not ready to go on or don't want to go on, then I tend to do that, because I don't want to add to the noise and the clutter online. Mm-hmm. But like you said, I feel that it's a place that we can connect and share and to shine a light on things and help people to see things a little bit differently. There's opportunity for story there.
And Karita talked, or the Karita and Jan talked about changing the world. Yes. And our own world or the bigger world. And I think what you're talking about, I love the idea. I hadn't thought of it, but we do manage what Facebook shows us by managing what we allow in our feeds. It works with that algorithm. And if we look at the ugly, angry stuff, it's going to show us more of that. And so we can change the conversation in our own smaller world, and then our creative acts share them so that they go out into the bigger world and have that antidote. I didn't realize we were going to get on social media here today, but I really think it's a huge thing in our world right now. Art and artists and writers, they're powerful people. And it's why despots and dictators try to make them disappear, because they shine a light on the truth or on another way to think, or things that they don't necessarily want brought to light. So it's not selfish to do this work that we're doing. Sometimes people think, oh, you know, painting or writing or whatever, that's kind of how do you earn a living at it? Well, maybe it's not about earning the living. Maybe it's simply about shining the light.
What do you like to shine the light on when you're painting? What are the types of themes and questions you pursue?
Well, nature is a big one, that peace that we find. And it's about finding that peace and of mind that I had as a child out in the natural world. Mm-hmm. That not worrying about getting home to make supper or pay the bills or anything like that. Mm-hmm. There was just a being fully in the moment. And I think when we can be fully in that moment, there's a great Jason Mraz song about be where your feet are. And I think when we can do that, the rest of it kind of falls away and we find a different peace than we do. Mm-hmm. Always living in the past or in the future keeps us away from that. Creating and focusing on beautiful flowers and a bee, like I often paint, keeps me in that one moment and mm-hmm. lets me be in the flow and find that peace. What question are you living?
I feel like I'm on a continuous journey to heal myself, really. And then I think that if I can explore that, then through that, maybe it'll have an impact on other people too. So when I set out to do a project, this is just within the last couple of years, I've had a real big life shift in terms of how I see things. And it's really changed the way I approach my arts. And I used to try to set out to create things to change the world. And I found it very intimidating and overwhelming. And, you know, where do I begin? Mm-hmm. And it might come out a little bit too didactic. It's in itself. The teacher in me might come out. You know, within the last few years, I've had a huge life awakening. And in 2019, I was invited to read and write a poem for Take Back the Night event in our town. And that event was a trigger for me and reminded me of some experiences that I had when I was younger, like when I was 13. And that was a really big deal. It rocked my world. Ground came out from under my feet. This is just within the last couple of years. And I realized that everything I was hungry for and looking for the last 20 years, I finally understood what that was. And so now when I engage in the art, I have a better understanding of who I am, because I can see all the light and all the dark of my own story. And it's really transformed my relationship with the arts. So by changing ourselves through making, I feel that's how we can change the world. My poetry book, released this fall, is called The Thing with Feathers. And I've spoken about it before, but that whole collection of poetry was really all about me working through the feelings and that feeling of being a part and being in those sections. So that's why the book is organized in the medicine wheel with mind, body, emotion, and spirit, and how we work to put ourselves together through wholeness. Wherever the book goes from here and whatever it does, I have such a sense of peace with it, because of how healing it was for me to write it. I can't wait for it to come out and see what readers feel and think about it. I know for me, it will always be that symbol of, oh, this is why I write. This is how I can change the world, is by changing myself.
I love what you said about, I think all art is about that, about learning to heal ourselves. Those of us that are really diving deep into it. I didn't have an easy childhood. So when I say I'm looking for that innocence that I, as a child, those are the light moments against the dark moments that I'm looking for. And light is so important to me in my paintings. And I feel like that's part of that healing energy that I'm looking to bring more of into the world, knowing that we need the dark in order to, otherwise you can't see, you know, you have to have that contrast. But how do we focus more on the one than the other, and just simply let the one show the contrast for us? There's a lot in there. And I was, you know, I was actually surprised when we started with this first part, the beginning, because it felt like the intro. And I thought, well, what could possibly be in the intro? And there's so much in here that
Starner
has really opened up a lot of stuff. Yeah. Oh, so much. Where do you want to go from here? What do you want to touch on next?
Well, she talks a lot about the energy, and I'm really curious to hear about what you thought of that. Cause I'm always attracted to thinking about the energy and things. And she touches on that in this section. Any thoughts on the energy?
Well, Stephen King has a great quote about writing as a time machine, and that he can be writing in his office and years from now you'll read the book and he'll communicate with you. And I thought it's energy being put out into the world to communicate with someone that he probably will never meet, right? I love that she says energy can uplift and unify us, brings us together. I mean, I can read a Mary Oliver poem and I feel my own shift in energy from her work. Her energy is in those words. And I think when we really honestly, authentically create a piece of art, writing or poetry or painting or a dance or music that is us, then our energy goes into it and it will find the people that it needs to harmonize with, the people that it needs to bring back into your circle. I love the idea. And then it makes me look at my own work and what energy are people seeing in my work? And is it what I intended for them to see? Or are they maybe finding something different, which is not wrong. It means that there was things that weren't visible to me that spoke to someone else. I love that idea that there's this ongoing conversation and it's all about that energy.
Well, and I just find I get right into all of that. And I wrote a poem recently. Our director for our school board asked me to write a poem to launch the school year. She told me that the themes were relationships matter, belonging matters, and learning matters. And those are all big words I love, right? Relationship, belonging, learning. I started to do some reflecting on some of the work that I've been doing this summer in terms of noticing more and learning how to move my attention. I wrote a poem I'd love to share with everyone called Every Plant Has a Spirit. And it could very easily be every person has a spirit, every poem has a spirit, every painting has a spirit. It can act as a metaphor for what gifts can come when we really focus our attention. So if you don't mind, what do you think, April? We've never done this before, but do you think I could read a poem?
Oh, go right ahead. I mean, I'm sorry, I can't show people my painting.
Well, you can describe it and you can post it, but I'd love to read this
poem.
Sure,
you can always post it on the website. Yeah, well, go ahead.
Yeah. Every plant has a spirit. Look into any seed beyond its size or shape or texture. Hold this beginning in your hand. A whole seed and a whole body enter into relationship. Notice soil at your feet, layers of life, each particle a new story. Sand and clay, sun and rain, our Mother Earth and her medicines show a way to build belonging. Give your full attention to the stem, the personality of each leaf and bloom. Remember its name, listen to its lessons. Appreciate this time and acknowledge this place. It's up to you to learn. Know every plant en fleur has a spirit, ancestral roots, a history, and a future. Outside what you can see, connected to everything, growing together. So when I think about the energy that she spoke about, I thought of this poem and how important it is to take the time to connect in to that energy in the world around us and to notice the spirit in things.
That in every beginning, there is a full plant. Like in every beginning, there is a realization of something complete. And mm-hmm. it feels like it goes along so beautifully with this book.
So, and we're going to be talking about looking next week, right?
Yeah, about next
right?
week.
Yeah, it ties in so much with the seeing, right? She does touch yeah. on that in the introduction, the importance of seeing and the importance of looking. And I'm excited when we continue to get into that. And I love what you said about that innocence of a child and that freedom. And we do need to reconnect with that piece of us ourselves over and over again, because as adults, we lose that quickly. I don't know what that is, but we do. And we have to make a point to do that.
She talks about by learning to really see things, we can lose our judgments. And she talks about that in this chapter, and we go deeper into that next week. And I think in this day and age that we live in, learning to see, I think we've lost that. We really need to learn to see each other, see the world, see the plants, the seed, all those mm-hmm. things, and ask that question here. Go back to questions, challenge the assumptions. Yeah.
But I got to tell you a story. This summer, I got an app on my phone called Picture This, and I went around all over taking pictures of all the plant life all around where my parents live, and started learning the names of things and started really looking at them in person up close, watching them over multiple days, thinking about them when I wasn't with them. It was like developing a relationship. But what was really quite hysterical, which I think comes back to what you said about that importance of shifting the way that judgment works, is on the way home, I'm driving home from the cottage, and this continues and it still makes me giggle, is I've started to notice the beauty in the ditches along the side of the road. Because I can notice and name each of the plants that I'm seeing. And it's really woken up an area that I might have judged before, like the ditch, like whatever. But they've really become quite stunning to me, because I've taken the time to develop a relationship with, you know, what many people might call weeds. But as I learn more and more about them, they're actually quite miraculous. So I think that's part of what she's yeah. trying to describe here, is that importance of just not looking at, but looking into, really connecting in.
Yeah.
And it goes beyond just, oh, look, there's some sumac. It's okay. Let's think about, well, what does the sumac do? Why is it here? Look at its shape, look at its form. What kind of relationship can I have with the sumac?
I kind of laugh, because we used to joke when we first came to Nova Scotia, we had the most beautiful ditches in the world. Wait until you come. Spring, the lupin is unbelievable around here, and they're just growing wild up the hillsides and in the ditches. So yeah, if you like ditches, wait till you come to Nova Scotia.
I can't wait.
So I think we should jump into, this has been our experience. We really want to invite you listening, if you're doing this book along with us, we really want to invite you to share what you're learning, what stood out for you in this book, what ahas you might have had, what questions you've learned to live with. Well, let me flip back over to you, Jessica. What tips would you like to give them as they start to work through the book themselves?
Well, I'd really like to talk a little bit about what I played with this week, and then I'll move into the tips, because part of what we wanted to do with this book was, part of it was like the reflecting through it, but also how do I take what she said and put it into practice, and what does that look like? So this weekend, I thought, okay, let's think about beginnings. What's starting right now that I can look at? And I feel that there's a big shift happening in terms of my own understanding understanding of who I am as a writer. And so I went and tried to look at my blog, my website, Sunshine in a Jar, with new eyes. And I love Marie Kondo and her approach of, does this bring me joy? And I've started the process. It's huge. It's going to take me a week, but of going through every post and re-entering it like it's a beginning and looking at it and noticing it and wondering, what is the energy in this post? This sounds kind of fruity, but it's working. Does it bring me joy? And is this something that I would like to keep here? Or is it something I'm ready to let go of? And I've already let go of over 50 posts. I still have hundreds to go because I've been blogging since 2007. But it's been a really valuable way of playing with this idea of noticing and looking and beginning and then going slowly with that slow learning. So I guess my tip is that everyone can create. The beginning can be anywhere, even with something you've already created. So this isn't me starting a new project. I feel like before I can start a new project, I need to tend to what I already have. It's like when I clean my closets before I go shopping at the beginning of a new season. I always like to see, well, what do I have? And let's clean all of this out. And I'm going to get rid of this because it's worn, or this isn't serving me anymore. And then I create the energetic space for the new to come in. And I feel like that's the beginning that I'm in right now, is the cleaning of the creative closet. So how about you? What tips can you offer our listeners?
Well, I think it goes back to the same thing where, what did I do? And that's probably the tip I would offer, because it had so much value for me. And it was that idea, coming back to living that question. I started out with, what's my big question? And how does my art help me look for those answers? And I realized for now, and I think this is probably going to get refined, is how do I experience the peace and freedom I felt as a child in nature? I used to like to say to my mom, I'm going exploring, and I'd go and grab my bike and I'd gone for the day. And I had no set what place I was going to go to or what I was going to see or what I was going to do. I just was open to everything. Mm. And so now when I go for walks, I'm really starting to pay attention to things like the bird song or the buzz of an insect or the sound that I hear off in the distance. And so these become the small questions I'm curious about. Who are my neighbors out there in nature? And how can that inform my art? So the tip I would give is, find your question and start exploring it through whatever your art form is. It may already be showing up. And were you aware that it was already there? Is this something that you just were doing without bringing awareness to? And does that awareness deepen it for you? And I also love what she said on page 10, and it comes kind of back to what you were saying, we're always beginning, that a finished piece is the prelude to the next. Yes. So what did you learn that you want to carry forward or leave out? You may have learned something like, that didn't work, or that doesn't speak to me. So it's not just what you're going to bring forward. Sometimes it's what doesn't work for you. And that's important information too. Real important information.
Yeah. And just before we, kind of put our closure into the conversation, I just wanted to bring our readers' attention to the title of the book, Learning by Heart. So there's that care, that connection to that learning, and that importance of the caring, that relationship piece. And then Teachings to Free the Creative Spirit. So it's not a how to free the creative spirit, or thou must do this to free the creative spirit. It offers a number of teachings, and that's what they are. They're teachings that you can choose to connect with and to use. So I would invite listeners to think about, what does Teachings to Free the Creative Spirit mean to you? What is your relationship with your own creative spirit today? And then where do you hope that it will be in a couple of months? And maybe that's a question we can check back in for ourselves, April, about where it is. Because in the work that you and I have been doing throughout the course of this podcast, in the short time that we've been doing it, I just feel my own creative spirit expanding and expanding and expanding. And it's already moved beyond what I thought would be possible. In doing this work with you, April, you have just lit me up through these conversations. So I'm curious to, explore what's going to happen through this intense study.
And I think what you said, thank you, by the way, you've lit a lot of things up for me too, because it's making me be more conscious and more in the moment, keep being where my feet are. But I'm thinking the biggest tip maybe we should give our listeners is read the book and find out what speaks to you and follow that beginning. See where it takes you and then share that with us. It might be something completely different from what we've talked about today because it speaks to everybody at different times. And I would love to hear what other people pull out of this book, other threads and that they follow that we might have just gone past because we were following a different thread.
Absolutely. So our playlist, I put a link to my website so people can go and have a look at what I've ended up keeping there in terms of the pieces that brought me joy. It's a little self-indulgent, but that's all I had to offer because it's been a lot of me just playing with the ideas myself.
I'm gonna put a link up there too to the picture that I created that I felt broke through for me and took me to the sun and the light and the looseness that I really wanted to express. So I'll put a link up there so folks can see what I'm talking about with that. And I've also got a link up there to this book, Question Yourself, 365 Questions to Explore Your Inner Self. It got really good ratings, and I can understand why. When I dipped into it, I was so impressed. And it's only $2.99. It's not a big deal. And I really encourage people to go ahead and get this little book if you want to explore some questions and go a little deeper into your own healing and your own energy.
Yeah, we're going to be looking at looking, and that's we're into chapter two, looking. Here's looking at
There's
you,
a
kid.
fun movie out there. It's a whole different take on the Sherlock Holmes movie called Without a Clue. I won't go too much into the movie, but if you can find it's hilarious. But there's a point where the guy who's supposed to be Holmes is saying, "How many windows are on this building?" And he says, the reporter says, "I don't know." And he says, "That's right. He looks, he sees, but he did not look." So that's what we're going to talk about next week. We will look, not just see.
Wonderful. All right. We'll see you next week.
Take care. Hey, everybody. April Lee here at the end of our first week of studying the book by Carita Kent and Jan Stewart. Really hope you enjoyed this. This is definitely just the beginning. We hope you'll join us at our Facebook community group. It's called the Hummingbird Podcast Community, and that's where we will continue the discussion. And we look forward to hearing what you have to say and your experience of this book. If you haven't already gotten the book, it's okay. You can grab it and follow along. We will always be talking about this in the Facebook group. I'm sure this is an ongoing thing. This isn't like a workshop where you have to show up every week. If you're just joining us a year from now, we hope you'll take part in this because this is a book that all creative people can use to deepen their practice and just go a little bit more into what it means to look and to begin as a creative person. Look forward to talking to you again next week. Have a good one. Bye-bye.
You can find more podcast episodes and today's playlist
at thehummingbirdpodcast.com.
And you can learn more about our creative work at our individual websites. So you can learn more about me, Jessica, at sunshineinajar.com and more about April at
apriliejanes.com, APRILLEJAN as in November, ES.com.
If you have any hummingbird questions for us to explore, we invite you to let us know
at thehummingbirdpodcast.com.